The Goonies. I don't know how to say this politely, but I'll try my best. I just can't comprehend a human being that basically your film degree is complete shit in my view if you have not seen The Goonies or had a desire, because clearly everyone knows about The Goonies and how important it is to people's like childhood. And welcome to the Scene Weekly podcast, where two part-time cinematics discuss the merits of mostly the silver screen, but occasionally the small screen too. This week's episode is focused on the 1985 nostalgic coming-of-age super flick, The Goonies. Come join Jonathan and Cruise Control for another week of hopefully less plot chatter and copious more film banter. We are Scene Weekly, and welcome to this world.
Welcome, man. We're here. I like that Cruise Control is sticking. It's not like a passing thing. It's just that's the nickname now.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
If not, I like it. I mean, I haven't been able to give out a nickname, and boy, I don't know how long. One that might be, you know, some are offensive. I would say this isn't offensive. It's just like kind of your character. What are you drinking there?
I got a little.
What was that pinky up there for, all fancy? Do we have a new sponsor? What's this?
We're going to reach out to Yerba Mate. It's going to be, it's like we're testing the waters here. Revel Berry. It's a great one. I like that flavor.
What's the company name?
The company name, I think it's just Yerba Mate, right? No, I
don't think so.
Who knows, man?
But the LLC is not that. But anyway, Yerba Mate, I got into that like 15 years ago. Like the actual proper, is it a tea?
Is it considered a tea? Yeah, it's a tea. Yeah.
But anyway, The Goonies. I don't know how to say this politely, but I'll try my best. I just can't comprehend a human being that basically your film degree is complete shit in my view if you have not seen The Goonies or had a desire, because clearly everyone knows about The Goonies and how important it is to people's like childhood, and then you're just like, nah, I'm okay, I'm gonna watch Harry Potter and go to the Wizarding World and wand away. Like, why and how does this happen?
There's a lot of movies out there, and some just fall through the cracks. And I will say, this movie came out when I was 1 year old, right? And so
never an excuse. First of all, we've watched classic cinema on this podcast.
What I'm saying is, like, I was in a movie watching age when this came out. And then when I did get older, there was other new movies for me to watch. But
you know what I would say? I'd be like, you know what? I really fucked up. I should have watched this movie. Clearly, this is a banger.
I will say this movie, if I watched it as a kid, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, it would have scared the living shit out of me. This is a horror movie. A kid's horror movie, mind you, but it's a horror movie.
Yeah, I watched it as a kid and I thought it was just like humorous still. I thought it was funny. It never scared me. Just it wasn't a scary movie to me for whatever it's worth. Maybe that's something wrong with me. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I never found it I don't know. Maybe it was the music. And there was always never, like, nobody was ever really going to get hurt. Like, really, you know, but maybe. Were you scared watching it as an adult?
There was actually some moments where I was like, this is kind of terrifying. For once, I mean, they opened the movie with a guy hanging himself in a jail cell.
But it wasn't hanging immediately. We recognize that, you know, like, but he doesn't even look like he's hanging. It's like, it's music. By the way, what a banger of an intro. Car chases, people killing themselves, jail. I love how it just says county jail. What a banger. 5 minutes in, you're just like, what is this? Do you like the intro? It's set in nice Oregon.
Oh, story is beautiful, man. It's like, it's a picturesque place with like the fog coming in over the hills. Like, it's
gorgeous.
Great.
gorgeous. Yeah. I hear it like literally is beautiful place to live. But banger of an intro. Yeah, could be a horror flick. I wonder if they have like, you know, Rule 34. I don't even want to talk about it because they're children, but like the Goonies porn or something.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're not going to go there.
Moving right along. I guess is Data's anyway.
We can skip past that, but Data's I will say.
Oh,
I will say that this, yeah, this movie shocked me because one, it's a movie that would never, again, we say this a lot, but it's a relic of its time. It would never be made like a movie like this today, like this dark, this, I mean,
you know,
it's got this balance.
I actually disagree with that. I think it could easily be made today. And there is, I was going to get this actually very last, but well, Mr. Craig Fosnock 3 years ago probably took this long and he was upset that he didn't watch this as a kid or I don't know. It actually goes into him watching it as a kid, but his review of this is hilarious to me. It took a little bit of time to actually get to this and it kind of touches exactly on the point you're making, which I just can't agree with, to be fair, but to each their own. And I'll give you my take on it. Is the Goonies overrated? Bear with me. Yes, it is overrated. Was it good for its time? Sure, I love the movie as a kid. Now I'm way too old to it. Old for it. I'm like, how is that possible? Did you enjoy it as an adult? I mean, you've only seen it as an adult.
I've only seen it since last week. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed it, but I could see the trepidation of people watching it as an adult and not seeing it as a kid, just because there's a lot of kids yelling in this movie and it can get really like almost overwhelming in that sense.
I love it. I watch it every year and I have probably for the last 10 years, every single year. And his kids hate it for whatever it's worth, idiots. Sorry about your kids. I shouldn't be saying that. Why has this happened? Well, the pacing is glacier. Dude, homie kills himself. There's a car chase in the first 3 minutes. What do you mean glacier? Go fuck yourself. Go to Antarctica then. Or whatever. You have stereotypical characters who are now out of favor. Obese kid, Asian kid, Italian gangsters. Maybe that's DEI initiative now. You have actions that have fallen out of favor. The kids seem to be outright cruel to each other. Dare I say bullying? Good. We need more of that in this world. There is a lot of insinuating violence, like dead bodies. Great. Even better. Real life happens. Anyway, it's just picking it apart, but I guess this is where the life is. I still think it could be made now, for sure. I would actually love to see it, and there's coming out with a second one. Did you know this?
They greenlit it in February. Yeah, it's The Goonies 2 with, I think, most of the original cast.
Yeah.
But are they going to go on
not coming back.
Yeah, he got dropped too many times on his head.
No, the actor died, to be clear.
Yeah, I
just want to put that out there. Football player,
Sloth.
played for the Raiders.
Did he now?
He did. Yeah,
yeah. That, it's going to be a weird. Like, I'm kind of curious on like, are they going to take the kids that are now adults and they're going to go on an adventure, or is their kids going to like, are they going to have a new group of kids? Like, what's the plan here?
Yeah, my main question is like, what is Chunk coming back? How's he gonna look? You know, like Jeff Cohen has an action.
He's fit place. Now.
Yeah, it's just it's an interesting.
He's an entertainment lawyer, so I don't know.
Yeah, interesting concept. I'm in no matter what. I mean, they still actually have this strong bond. They interviewed him recently, and we're like, we still like connect consistently. And what a odd group, not odd. What a great combination of human beings that were in this, like actors. You know, like. It's wild. It's wild. Like Brolin. Just like if you didn't know, it'd be like, what the fuck is he doing? And you're like, wait, it's his acting debut. Like, what is happening?
I didn't know. I didn't look up.
Oh, you didn't watch a trailer? You know, did you know what the Goonies was about?
Nope.
Generally?
I knew generally that they were gonna. I always get this like mixed up with Stand By Me for some reason. But
a lot of people do.
Yeah. I knew it was like something about a treasure hunt or they found a dead body. It was one of the two. Stand By Me is the dead body one. Goonies is the treasure hunt. And I think I would prefer that more than the dead body anyways. But anyways, yeah,
I've been on a lot of treasure hunts recently. And I feel like maybe it's time to get my daughter involved in this movie. Do you think it's a 5-year-old's too young?
I mean, There's a guy that gets shot in the head with a bullet, and a kid that has
he doesn't really get shot.
He's a dead dude.
I mean, no, it's just a movie. It's not a real person getting shot.
Yeah, I mean, but you have Chunk, you know, two places in the freezer with the dead guy, can't get out, and then in a trunk of a car. That's pretty scary.
Is it?
I'd say wait till like 7 or 8.
Yeah, I'll wait maybe 6 months. I just can't. I wish I could be you last week and like rolling up into this movie and being like, I have no idea what I'm really getting into. That's shocking to me that nothing had filtered in throughout all these years. And then you watch it. Every single time I watch this or anything that even touches upon the Goonies, I wish there was like a Goonies world or land.
With water
slides.
They
try to get rid of that pirate ship, actually. They're like, does anyone want this pirate ship? It's like a real pirate ship. They're like, and nobody wants a pirate ship, I guess. And they just dismantled it. But I would love to be a part of this world. And I watch it every single year because I'm still transfixed at the storyline, the music, the just everything about it is nostalgic, but also I think it's legitimately a very well done movie. Dialogue is just outstanding. And I regret the fact that Chunk does not act in anything anymore because he's my favorite character, like on the whole movie by far, like hands down by far. There's not even a clear second. Well, I guess there would be a clear second, to be honest with you. Mouth is like pretty outstanding. But who is your favorite character?
Chunk is just so endearing in that he can form a relationship with Sloth. Mouth is he kind of won me over when he was doing the tour of the house with the new Hispanic cleaning lady, and he's translating everything but making it really, really bad, like a sex dungeon. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know, like, yeah, I would probably have to say Mouth, just because he cracked me up on pretty much every single thing he did.
Lupe Ontiveros, which I'm saying it probably, you should be the one saying this, and like outstanding. She's the woman speaking Spanish inside the house. I mean, it just, you go from the rocket fast intro of the movie for, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, and then and this is where the glacier speeding of the movie goes out completely out the window to me. Chunk is showing up to the house. Rube Goldberg machine is being executed by Data to unleash the door to the fence, and you know, it just starts from there. And immediately they're getting into mayhem of finding a treasure map and just trying to figure out what that actually was. But I mean, I just love this movie. Did you have any Goonies growing up, or like a group of people that called themselves something?
Not like necessarily a group that called themselves something, but I did have definitely a gang of friends. And I remember specifically, especially in New Hampshire, as a kid, we had these like sewers underground that as a 9, 10, 12 year old, you could fit and like go through the neighborhood through the sewers. And Grant, I'm surprised we didn't catch any diseases or anything like that, but we would, you know, go through these sewer tunnels and have these kind of adventures. And it was just, yeah, it was amazing.
I was so hoping you were going in all into that path.
Oh yeah.
This is a softball you just gave yourself to be like, and then we started ordering a lot of pizza down there. And you know what? We found this like neon substance randomly. And yeah, man, like it turned into like the shell. It was very strange. And then as it grew on, you could have gone down that path.
That's true.
But yeah. Ninja Turtles, man. I never hung out in sewers much, but I actually have done that whole rigmarole. It's interesting. You feel like very secure. Did you go steal stuff and then go in the sewers, or like what did you do down there?
I just explored. I think played some games, some tag, got a little messy. It was fun. You said you've been on some treasure hunts recently. I want to kind of back that up. Like, tell me about that.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who's a real life treasure hunter.
Oh, really?
Shout out Ted. Yeah, he's a treasure hunter.
So does he like travel around the world, or like, I mean, where does he find these leads for treasure maps?
The maps? I don't know if he finds leads on the treasure map. He gets them from Al Pacino. Where are the leads? I bet there are. I bet those leads are very pricey.
Very pricey.
And I don't even know what he does, to be honest with you. And I've talked about it loosely with him. I was didn't even hear the entire story. It sounds like I would have asked a lot of questions, but I think I was a little inebriated at the time. And maybe he's not even a treasure hunter, but I know that he's unemployed, so that probably goes hand in hand. But my treasure hunt that I've actually been on is with my daughter. Yeah, and they started years ago. And she would, you know, once she realized X marks the spot. Yeah. So her treasure map, you know, it's poorly drawn. Doesn't really make any sense, but she translates it for me, kind of as mouth does the Spanish. And, you know, we go around the house and find different things that that are basically her gifts to herself. And we're happy doing it. It's fun. One time I made like an actual treasure map and like a whole game. I've done this a few times. And we did it for like 45 minutes and she was invigorated. She like lost her brain, like, oh my God, there was something here. And then we had people, I'd set up things where she'd get scared from time to time. And in fact, basically it was the plot of the Goonies to some extent.
Yeah, you're setting her up to love this movie, basically.
I am. We're going to do a Rube Goldberg machine here soon in a second. One of my favorite things on earth, honestly.
What is the end result of this Rube Goldberg machine going to do? Open a gate?
You know what? Yeah, I think that's a little absurd. I haven't actually sketched this out, but I would love it to probably feed the chickens. That seems like a reasonable endeavor. Like, you don't have to go outside. Maybe it's raining. This Rube Goldberg machine would, you know, feed the chickens. I think that'd be a good thing. Chickens don't like fish eggs, by the way. Strange enough. I have to mention this. Chunk, my favorite character, the truffle shuffle. Did anyone do the truffle shuffle like to you as a kid? Did somebody mention truffle? Because I know you don't like truffling or truffles or whatever it is. I love truffles still. You think it's just overpriced. But like, did this ring a bell? You're like, I've seen it. Oh, this is where it's from.
I have seen this and I didn't know it was from this. There was two things in this movie that like I've never gotten the reference to it. And one is somebody lifting up their shirt and shaking their belly, saying the truffle shuffle. And the other one is just somebody shouting, hey, you guys.
I didn't know it was from the Goonies?
I had no idea.
Dude.
I had no idea.
This is why a live watch. Can you reenact? I'll say, hey, you guys, and then I want to get your reaction probably of like what would happen. Hey, you guys!
That's from this movie? That's why.
Okay. Were you alone?
Yeah, I was alone watching this movie.
I would have talked out loud to myself. Like, what? No. No. Did you know? In like, oh, yeah, I clearly did. I feel like, I know, you know, that's wild. I feel like you would be a good mouth.
Thank you, man.
Good mouth. Thanks. Yeah.
I can speak Spanish.
You have a pretty one.
I can translate it. You know.
You ever like antagonize somebody like that?
Just by speaking Spanish?
Just by doing anything in life. Basically trolling them and being like, this is a sex dungeon and this is this is what's going down. You don't seem like the type that would, but I think like if you had the opportunity to get outside of yourself, you could do it.
Oh, definitely do it. Yeah. Yeah. It's Corey Feldman is interesting because when he tried out for this part as the mouth, he basically like got into Richard Donner's office and just talked for 20 minutes straight about random shit.
Yeah.
And
he still Richard does
Donner,
this.
he still does it. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you're gonna be the mouth. Come on in.
It's funny, the other guy up for the role was also named Corey. Oh, yeah. So I guess they were just going with Corey's. Yeah, the Rube Goldberg machine, going back to that, I just love them so much. I don't know why. It's not necessarily that they have to do anything at the end, but it's more of like the journey than the end result. But okay goes like this too shall pass. I don't know if you've seen that music video.
Yeah, of course I have. Dude, I love – I will like get transfixed on like – I'll be like looking at reels or whatever and like a Rube Goldberg machine will like kind of pop up and you'll see some dominoes going and it just gets larger and larger and a balloon pops and a train set goes and you're just like, I got to see this to the end.
Yeah, that's one of the soon there's going to be AI that just has you on your phone for like 6 hours. And the end result is basically you buying whatever they're selling. That's what they're doing to us. Anyway, what were your first thoughts? Like, when did you start to get excited? I mean, maybe you're a little scared. But what did you overall like think of the movie? Like initially, like you, to me, you kind of get into this fun, you know, the Goonies world is a very fun world in my view. You have Rube Goldberg machines. You have a treasure map. Anytime you have a treasure map, like National Treasure, starts off pretty good.
I think I like really got into it. It was really early on in the movie when they all met up at the house, and you had like, you know, you got to see like what each character is like, what their character was like. Like you have Mouth, who just won't, you know, shut up talking. You have Chunk, who's just funny and chubby. You have Data, who can like have all these gadgets. He's basically Inspector Gadget. You have Mikey, who's basically, you know, the lead guy with braces. And you get them all in a house and you get into the attic and they are searching around and they find the map. I was like, okay, this is where I'm in. Like, yeah, they're going to go on some kind of adventure and I'm down for it. Let's go. It's great.
You are in the clouds and we're in the basement. Yeah. The finding any, yeah, the attic is like an either or place. It's just a horror place. So I could see that being scary. Or like the setting of the tone for scaring moments to come. But that map find, what would you do if you found a treasure? What would I do if I found a treasure map? What would you do? Would you go actually try to, you know, see what's going on? Do you think an actual X marks the spot previously in like treasure maps, in the history of treasure maps, like X? Maybe a circle.
Yeah, there's usually probably like a legend that you can kind of like see, like where, you know, certain things on the map coincide with it. But if I found a treasure map, yeah, I would definitely like, if especially like if I had the day free, if I didn't have to go to work, maybe being unemployed is great to be a treasure hunter, like you said. But I would definitely like go in search of the treasure, right?
I think if I found an actual treasure map, I would definitely go and probably that same day, fuck off all responsibilities, and I'm going to find that treasure. Yes, is the definitive answer.
Now, what? Okay, so does location matter? Like, what if the treasure map is like, you know, from somewhere in Spain or Italy? Are you flying to Spain and Italy and just doing it?
Not that day. No, then we're gonna have to configure some. You know, I'm not that guy. If I was unemployed, yeah, probably might do it if it was an actual treasure map. You know, this movie though, it really makes me miss those early years of adventure. Like you hanging out in the sewer. I mean, it's not like you can go hang out in the sewer now. You're homeless. But like you see a kid in the sewer and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But you see an adult in the sewer, and you're like, get the fuck away from him.
That's or true, her. Yeah.
You know, like there's a very distinct difference. So we're not allowed to do things as much anymore. For example, the same would go for, I mean, I used to play around in like old beaten down factories. If you see like a homeless man in an old beaten down factory now, or even anyone in a factory, you're like, get away. Not going near that person. A kid, you'd be like, yeah, no big deal.
What's the cutoff? What age is like?
The Goonies cutoff? Man, adolescence probably is the cutoff for me. I think when you're hitting that 15, 16 and you're starting to drive, you should probably, yeah, something like that. That's one of those kids are really scary though.
Yeah.
Still doing it a little too long. Like, you probably have a knife on you. You probably also have some sort of gun that you illegally found. I don't know. Want to stay
and
away.
You're probably not high on sugar. You probably got some like some Mad Dog 2020 in you or something like that.
So I do MD 2020. Yeah, baby. Shout out MD 2020. Been a while since I've had that. And it's gross, disgusting. But I just I have that sense of joy watching this movie every time, of that sense of adventure that, you know, to some extent I've lost. I have the wanderlust of traveling, and you kind of like tick the boxes there, but you're never really, it's within a well-confined path of life, if that makes sense. And we're well-confined, like you go to the hotel and then the hotel taxi is going to take you to this place, and this is going to be your site for the day, or two sites for the day. Whereas, like, this is like, I don't know what is behind this door. Like, physically, literally, I may open this door and there's a dead person. I don't know, like, this old beaten down house where allegedly these cops and or these robbers are. And I think that sense of adventure as a kid, which I had in droves, it's like just riding, being able to ride your bike, like out of the county, for example, and just walking through woods, is something that I probably haven't done since a kid. But I think this is the movie that always brings me back, and I love it.
Yeah, there's a certain sense of freedom that you can experience as a kid that you just lose as an adult. And you kind of spoke to that, like, just experience of traveling. Like, it's a very, like, curated and just bubble wrapped almost thing that you do. I mean, the last time I kind of felt a little even like just adventurous, I think, was our trip to Portugal, and you got scooters and mopeds and did some kind of crazy adventures there. But that's not happening when you have a kid and it could
be irresponsible too. Yeah, but it's still within like a well-confined structure. You get the scooter takes you to a restaurant, you can go afterwards to the Ferris wheel and whatever else the city is going to provide. There's some other things I'm leaving leaving out for us in this exact story. But we're alive, so that's good. And I just think the structure of being a child and the ability to be a kid is in the finite notion that there are things, and without even you knowing it, there are things that you're not going to be able to do soon. And I think it's something that parents should instill in their child. And watching this movie has given me the idea we need more treasure maps in this house and more adventures. This week's episode is sponsored by Soul Roots Running Company, where you can find the best covers for your feet that make you travel comfortably and quickly across sidewalks like Shel Silverstein. Soul Roots offers all varieties of running shoes, clothes, and accessories. And for 10% off, please use the code SCENE, S-C-E-N-E, at checkout. And any order over $180 is free to ship anywhere in the continental United States. Head over to shop.soulrootsracing.com and fill up your cart for 10% off with the code SCENE. Chester Copperpot, lovely name. Separate to the question I have in a second. But what did you think of the music throughout?
I mean, it's one of those just classic kind of like adventure. What you said was like, this movie would be totally different if the music was different, because there are some, like I said, horror elements in this movie, but having this kind of lightness and this, like, you know, I don't even know who does the score to this movie, but
me neither.
It has that very, very Spielberg kind of like lightness to it, this like whimsical adventureness to it, that definitely undercuts, like, you know, somebody's hand about to go into a blender. So you have these like really dark elements, like you have like Sloth, who is basically chained and forced to watch TV all day, and it's a very dark kind of concept. And this movie's messy, like these kids get messy. They go through the ringer. They have to play a piano of skeleton keys just to get out. Like there's a lot of things going on, but the music, I think, elevates it into this like whimsical adventure tale that kind of that fits perfectly.
I love the Fratellis. They
they're villains, man.
They perfectly executed their role, and they really added like a touch of finesse. For example, in real life, I can't remember his name on the, like, but the opera singer, it's not an ad lib per se or something that was impromptu, but he recommended, he's like, yeah, we should do this for sure. And it just works so well. It's like to the creepy nature of the family themselves, but also the mom with the, when she hits the son, slaps.
Yeah.
That's a real slap.
Oh, really?
Donner was just like, hit him as fucking hard as you can. And she's like, all right. He didn't know it was coming either. He was like, I think it's just going to be like a fake one. And they're like, bam, slap, slap cam.
slap cam. There you go. That was a real slap cam. I will kind of point to a review that I was going to save here, but I'll read it now.
Sure.
This is on Letterboxd. It just kind of points to the great cast of this film, and it's kind of leading to a question that I wanted to ask you, but this is the review. Samwise Gamgee and three other hobbits team up with Thanos to find an ancient pirate treasure, but they are being chased by Bond villain Fran Sanchez and Cypher from The Matrix. Just as amazing as it sounds. So my question to you is, out of this cast of characters and these actors, who do you think had the best career?
That's outrageous. That, when you really put that in context, it's a pretty outrageous fact. Just like take any of those. I mean, it's pretty wild. But I think it's unequivocally Jeff Cohen, for sure. I mean, Cohen has created his entire entertainment law, and he basically was like a almost one and done, just like dropping all of the mics around the world. I'm going to become an adjunct professor at UCLA, and I have just dropped the greatest kids movie of all time, and I am the best character by far in that movie. But I would say Jeff Cohen has probably had the most successful career. I think in the world of entertainment, it is a different question, but overall, I like what Jeff Cohen has done, primarily because Chunk is just a fucking shit. He also showed up with chicken pox when he did the Truffle Shuffle, and they had no idea, and he's like, I got to show up. They're going to find someone else. That's how I picture him, like, talking as an older adult. I got to do this, you know? That would be a weird professor. And then I guess, poof, I don't know. Brolin, probably. I would have to go with Brolin. But I think Cohen, you know, starting your own firm is a big deal.
Yeah, and apparently...
Success, it just permeates.
He asked Richard Donner later in life, he's like, hey, I'm trying to get into Berkeley. Will you write me a letter of recommendation? And Richard Donner went a step further, and he's like, I'll write you a letter of recommendation, and when you get in, I'm going to pay for your school. And he did.
That's awesome. Yeah, their relationship is interesting. I know that... I think there was some fact of like the, was it Spielberg? Somebody basically said to the cast, like, be cold in the last week of shooting. I don't even know if this is real, to be fair. And be cold to Donner in the last week of filming. And I believe Spielberg flew all the kids out. This is real, to Hawaii, where Donner was.
But
I've seen this framed in different ways. I actually knew this like years ago, but it was framed in the sense that I saw it, that Donner was like, all right, I'm fucking done with kids. Like, give me a break. I'm going to go to Hawaii and have like a vacation. And then they show up randomly, and it was like this prank kind of. He's like, oh, God damn it. The kids are back.
There's a video of this. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that's how I've seen it framed. But so it looks like it was a different story. But, you know, I think dealing with kids is probably difficult, to be honest.
Richard Donner, he even said this in an interview. He said that, I love the kids individually, but when you get them together, and the chaos that ensues, I literally contemplated suicide every night.
I couldn't. And they're not your kids. So it's not like, do you know what I mean? You don't know what I mean. There's a huge difference between your kid doing something and somebody else's kid doing something. And especially for the fact that you're managing the whole process. So like herding cats, whatever is worse than that is probably what this would have been. I will say, man, even there's so much influence from this movie, and I think they did it perfectly. Whether it's the director, like directing choices, the treasure maps, the wishing well, really like pinpointed everything that would be attractive to a child. The sense of adventure. They also had a lot of Nikes. Were they sponsored? Like sponsored the movie?
I mean, they are in Oregon, so
it was Nikes galore. But I think I can't wait for Goonies 2. It's gonna be fantastic. Oh, my point was this: there's a song by Red Gold Green, Television and Radio. It's called Won't Last, and it's completely set for 3 minutes of a backdrop of the Goonies. You ever seen the video? I've sent this to you like 600 times.
Oh, maybe I have then. Yeah. I don't
it's
know.
Terrific. It's got a sloth in it. They go on a sense of adventure. And I think that's what music is to some extent as well. But
dude, I literally like cheered, like stood up and cheered at watching this movie when Sloth rips off his shirt and you hear the Superman theme song.
Yeah.
And then you realize that Richard Donner is the one that directed Superman.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
All right, that makes sense. Okay.
That scene is so good because Chunk is just like spilling his guts and talking about vomit and just that is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. And then of course Sloth ending, you know, going on the side of the Goonies. He becomes a Goonie himself.
This is what Chunk, like they said, tell us everything, spill everything. So he's telling him all the bad things that he's done in his life, pushing his sister down the stairs and blaming it on the dog, stealing his uncle's toupee and using it as a beard in his Hebrew Moses play, and then the vomiting thing. Like it's some pretty funny stuff.
It's funny, the vomit story actually is allegedly from something that Spielberg did. I don't know, again, this is the trivia for it, but it comes from a true life story. But if I were like chained myself next to Sloth or we're in I don't even know what to call that, cave together, I'd be spilling all my guts too. But when you were that age, you never did anything wrong, right? Like what would be your go-to? Do anything bad either.
I
jumped off the roof into the pool a lot. Did that a lot, even when I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, but that's not hurting anybody else, except maybe you could have gotten hurt. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think
I stole my brother's four wheeler.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I used to steal a lot. Steal it in the sense of like, I didn't ask him. I don't know where he was, but. If you leave a four-wheeler around, your younger brother is definitely going to go use it like all day. So, yeah, I didn't really do any of these bad things as a kid.
Just go on adventures, man. That's what this... I mean, I was trying to think, like, what other movies around this time did I see and why did I miss this one? And, like, I saw The Neverending Story, and that was a big part of my childhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I despised that movie. Like one of my least favorite movies of all time. Then and now.
Just the kid going up into the attic, reading a book, and being immersed in the book himself, and being a part of the story.
I think they could actually do it okay now with visual effects.
Yeah, and then the other movie that kind of reminded me of this around that time was Adventures in Babysitting. That's
been so long since I've seen that movie that I can't, again, this could even be a 2-year period. I don't remember Adventures in Babysitting. Wasn't that a book first?
No, I think that's, I don't think so. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that, but we have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm very surprised as a Spielberg influenced human being that you haven't like gone out of your way to like see everything that he's basically touched or produced. And so like this would have been top of the tier of things that you probably have missed.
I didn't even know Spielberg was involved until I saw the credits roll.
Great font, by the way. Excellent font. I was trying to look up like who did it. Didn't really look too long, but fantastic emanation of like what this feeling is as a movie. Can't wait for two. There could be a blubbering mess of flesh coming, but who knows? I will say, probably a top 50 movie for me of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. Like, if this was something that I grew up with, and let's just switch the titles and say, like, I never saw Neverending Story, and this was the movie that I watched. It shapes you, right? It definitely
it's a no-brainer.
And I love how like this group of kids they're tight friends, but they like you said, they bully each other in the most lovingly way. You know what I mean?
I like that. You know, I think that's just an affiliation for somebody, and that's your love of. I mean, I was with Mikey and Milt this past weekend went to the F1 event. I went to see a client in Miami. And it was just like completely the whole time of this back and forth making fun of each other. And I mean, that's we're like low level, not even low level. We're extremely low level comedians to each other. We think we're each hilarious. But like that is what this is. And that's what I think life really is just not taking it too seriously and making fun of each other and kind of like giving that little bit of razz, Stephen. That little bit of razz is I don't even know what
you said. You said that so eloquently.
But I think that's what life is about. And when you're first finding your feet on how to make fun of somebody or bullying them, I think you know, it's a fun little thing to make people laugh. And I think that's really all it was. It's just harmless fun to me.
Do you think that because you know, you read things online and about this movie and it being made today, and like people saying like the truffle shuffle is problematic, and I say no. I say it's like a group of friends, just this is a deeper connection of like what they have for each other. They're not making fun of him.
We've gone too far down the path of you know, making like looking back at a movie made in 1985 or any time period and being like, well, the standards don't exist anymore, and then holding the people that did that movie at that time with different standards to the same standards of today. I think that really is problematic. And I'm not saying that we should give some people a pass, for example, like people that have done blackface in the past, but like
right. There
are things that are going to be kind of inherently offensive, and you probably should have thought about things a little more deeply. But a truffle shuffle, I mean, honestly, if you go to virtually anywhere with kids, that stuff still exists. Like, as somebody who's been at I don't know how many children's birthday parties in the recent 2 years, it's like every party, every single party that is existing still. It's never going to change because we are humans. And the fact that it's on the big screen and from 1985, nothing has changed. Kids still want adventure. Kids still are going to make fun of themselves and they're going to make fun of each other. I think there is certainly a line of making fun, but I think it's more of a love for your friends that you're making fun of them. It's not coming from a bad place. Although, you know, I do have, I've got a job, I've got a kid. That maybe went too far when you're trying to make fun of somebody 700 times in a weekend. Then it becomes, if it'll affect you. But do you have any questions for me, my sweet sugar plum darling?
Oh, well, thank you so much for the kind words. Yeah, I got to go back to Chunk. And he goes through all of these trials and tribulations with being trapped in a freezer with a dead man, to the back of the car, to being kidnapped, to being, you know, all of these things. And then he gets his taste of ice cream. And the worst thing in the world is that ice cream being taken away from him. Worse than anything else that happened in this movie. And I respect him for that. It was Rocky Road. But what is, maybe we've talked about this before, but do you have like, I'm not saying like a Ben and Jerry's flavor, but like a classic flavor of ice cream that you go to?
I have a story and then I'll tell you. This is one of the worst things that can happen to a kid. You have that taste for ice cream and then you're like, gone. He's in a place of dire circumstances and he has found joy. And that joy has now been ripped away from his maybe cold, dead hands in a second. And Rocky Road is a little rockier. What happened on that Thursday? And to me, this happened last night. Kancho, you know what kancho is? It's the Korean, like a flaky pastry, small little like homegrown bowl with chocolate inside.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, we give the opportunity for our daughter to get on the counter. Don't worry, I'll get to your question here in a second. And she saw a bag. I bought chips, salt and vinegar chips, to be clear. How's terrific. Excellent, crisp. And so she found this bag and she's like, oh, Appa's probably bought something good here. Appa's Korean for father. And she gets up on the stool, gets up on the counter, doesn't really like chips. So she's like, oh, whatever. But then starts peeking and finds a random Concho bag, which I overlooked because I looked for it last night or two nights ago and I couldn't find it. Very disappointed because I wanted to eat it. And so she's like, oh, this is mine. Like, that's it. I'm going to eat this entire thing. And we're like, there's too many, basically in the background, there's too many things in there. She's going to just get super hyper. So we have to share. That became a huge deal in that. If you want to open it now, we have to share. If you want to eat it on the weekend, you can have it all, but you have to wait until the weekend. And then it became like being ripped, that ice cream being ripped away from your fingers. Cold, dead fingers. As somebody who makes abundantly clear what my favorites are all across the board, this is going to be a dismal answer. Like it's kind of like, what's my favorite cereal? It's really hard to say because I would say as of now, it's chocolate chip cookie dough because it gets that crunch with the chocolate chips and the cookie dough, the smoothness. I love the mochi taste as well with pink berry. So those two would probably be top tier billing, one or the other. You could take your pick. But when I was a kid, cookies and cream was probably my favorite at their stage of life. I would probably say cookies and cream. But it's gone from like mint chip to cookies and cream to praline to virtually everything. I'm at peppermint stick. It was just, I'm a fat ass with ice cream. What about you?
Yeah, I think around this age, Chunk's age, would have been mint chocolate chip. That's the one that like I constantly got. Nowadays, I don't really eat too much ice cream. If I do, it's going to be just Belgian chocolate. Just a little Belgian chocolate.
Wow. Huh. Belgian chocolate ice cream? You like chocolate ice cream?
Yeah, just chocolate ice cream. I pour a little milk in the I usually do it in a coffee cup. Pour a little milk in there. And by the end of that ice cream, it's all kind of liquefied. And it's the best chocolate milk you can imagine. And boy, I love chocolate milk.
My wife has a lot of things to say about these two items. That ice cream should never be melted, which I could not disagree more with. So I agree with your sentiment there. And then secondarily, which is like, it's laughable when she makes cereal. She'll pour in the, first of all, this is so offensive to me. She pours in the milk first. What do you think? How do you make cereal? How does a normal person make cereal? Do you do milk first or cereal first?
Wait, there's nothing in the bowl, and then she pours milk.
Milk first.
That's not.
Yeah, you can't even wrap your head around it. It's so asinine. Who puts milk first? How would you even what? Anyway,
I don't get it.
The point is, she thinks milk is, these are her words, she thinks milk is too milky. So she puts less milk to make it less milky, and then she puts the cereal on top. And I think of eating cereal, each spoonful you have probably a dropper of milk in each bite. So that,
so it's dry.
And the second it gets, any of it, if it ever gets soggy in any way, shape, or form, it's instantaneously. Like, that's it. I have to eat it at that point. First of all, I have to add more milk. But I would say it's almost a divorceable. When I first saw this, I was like, I'm being trolled. And after like almost 15 years, I was like, I still have to be. Like, I can't believe a human being is like this. Like, this, it's not real. She's not even lactose intolerant. Like, that would be an excuse. Yeah, ice cream is
too milky.
I have ice cream more frequently than I would like now, because after BJJ on Saturdays, I take my daughter to eat ice cream, Carvel, and sometimes I have it. And running to get the ice cream man that's around our neighborhood, I often have ice cream with her there. That way, you know, I can't feel like she's just eating ice cream alone. You know?
Yeah, you got to join her on that endeavor, of course.
Big fan.
Does she have a favorite? Does she go towards?
Yep, it's transitioned. She likes the SpongeBob now, but before that, she likes strawberry. It was a lot of strawberry, but now it's cotton candy from Carvel, I should say. But
what
from
is SpongeBob?
It's the sponge. It's like I don't even know what the flavor would be. To be abundantly clear, I've had it too. Very artificial. very, very bad for you. But it was funny. I think I've said this story possibly on this podcast. The first time we ever heard, or she ever heard the sound of, and like recognized, like, wow, I've heard that sound before. And she's like, what is that? And so I was like, is this the time? Like, is this the time where I should tell her what? A moving object outside that has all of the ice cream you could ever imagine in your entire existence is right there at your grasp, and they take cards. Is this the time? Looked at my wife, and she's like, no. And then in my gut, I'm like, this is a yes. This is a resounding yes. And so that resounding yes wouldn't go away for 45 seconds. And I'm like, the truck is getting closer and closer. I can hear it. And then she's like, what is that? And she sees on my face, like, there's something here. So she's like, what is that, Appa? And I go, it's an ice cream truck. She's like, an ice cream truck? I was like, it's an ice cream truck. It literally has all of the ice cream. And she's like, sprints to the door, goes out with having any shoes on. I was like, you got to put your shoes on. It's down our street, probably 400 meters, and it's got a good distance on us. And it stopped providing nice ice cream to nice children, hopefully, that end up being kids around, nice kids around here. And she gets her boots on, which was a bad choice, and she starts sprinting, just disregarding all rules on how to walk in the streets and sidewalks and things of that nature. And luckily I was there I caught up with her very quickly. And then we are just sprinting full speed down to find this. And it goes down Bluebird. And Bluebird is like a roundabout way. And I'm like, fuck. And we lose it. And then it becomes the sense of the Goonies adventure of like, can you hear it? And we're breathing hard. And I was like, stop. Listen. And we're like, I think it's that way. And she's like, no, I think it's that way. So we follow her, and I'm just allowing her to like kind of dictate. We're wrong. Go in this roundabout way for literally 12 or so minutes. So much so that I'm picking her up now and just sprinting myself while carrying her. And we're going to find this no matter what. Dead of summer, sweating profusely. We finally hear it as it comes back around and she sees the truck coming toward us. I have a actual video of this. I wish I could post it so somebody could see. And I have a video and pictures of her smiling and laughing and being the most giddy kid I've ever seen. And still to this day is the happiest moment probably of her life. And then she ordered ice cream, strawberry ice cream, and was like, you could tell, it's like, I can't comprehend this. Like, there is a truck, makes a sound, and when that sound happens, I can go get this mobile ice cream. Probably one of the happiest days of my life, to be honest, too, the whole adventure side to it.
Oh, yeah. But, it sounds amazing.
She continues, like 2 years later, continues to mention it. She's like, do you remember that time that we ran after the ice cream truck? That was a lot of fun. So I think it's one of those. It's her small Goonies adventure with her father.
That's amazing. Does she still hear, like, last summer, or it's coming up this year? Like, will she hear it and be like, oh,
ice cream? Oh, it's come twice. Yeah. It's already been. We know the guy and everything. I have his phone number.
Hey, <man. laughs> Let me know when you're coming around the block.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess we have to get to some ratings here in a second.
Some ratings, yeah.
I mean, this was, I think, a question for you. Or a question for me.
What is a Goonie?
Data's belt and your favorite.
Oh, yeah, it was a question for you. What do you think Data's best gadget was? I have mine.
Goonies are they're blood brothers. I don't know if you ever did. I never did that, but they're blood brothers.
Yeah, but they're saying One-Eyed Willy was the original Goonie.
I mean, so, they're from the Goondocks. That's true. Quite literally where the Goonies name came from. That's their neighborhood. So that's what they are. But they're blood brothers. You know, they have a pact with each other. Boys for life, kind of sort of thing. My favorite, I mean, the gadgets are hilarious.
Oh, wait, future Oscar winner Data.
Yeah. Most of them, you know, don't work as intended. Instead of pushing away, there's a lot of pulling. I think the slick shoes, probably.
Slick shoes, yeah.
The Slick Shoes is probably my favorite because it reminds me of something completely different than this movie. And it was effective. But it reminds me of those tournaments, not tournaments, the competitions they have where like they slick up a big pole just as the size of that. And at the end of it, they have like a flag. And if you're able to grab that flag, you win, I don't know, whatever you like, a nice meal at the sushi restaurant. But it's typically, and almost always, at least the ones I've seen, huge 20 long foot, very slicked up, Data slick shoot up, like telephone pole that's on its side. And you have to run and sprint out to grab the flag. And it's above water. Like a Rube Goldberg machine, every time I see those competitions, I'm like, I'm stopping and watching this. Because, like, I mean, people really get injured bad. Like,
have you ever wanted to participate?
No. No, because I don't want to be a meme. I mean, kind of, really, kind of. Yeah. But it's like, I think at the age of 40 plus, Brad Pitt had this interview where, like, yeah, I've been in this a really long time. If I can give up stunt work to a stunt man, I'm going to do that. I don't like doing night shoots anymore. And and he's like, I don't even remember the first rule of Fight Club. I feel like that's kind of me. Now I'm on the back end of my career of doing stuff like that in an adventurous way, which hopefully that doesn't mean it leads to death soon. But what do you think his best tool was?
Well, it was going to be the flashlights, but I don't know if he didn't charge the batteries or the batteries just died really quick, but the flashlights, they went out. But yeah, Slick Shoes, fantastic. You could go with like the punching glove, but it kind of backfired and wasn't very effective for him. It was effective like for one part of the scene, but Slick Shoes all the way.
Yeah, I like Slick Shoes. I like... And all the gadgets worked, like in real life. Like they actually, practical. Yeah. No, like they had a proper belt and interesting. That would be something that would be cool to have as a keepsake. The treasure map was taken, by the way. Corey had it. Somebody had it, but the mom in real life took the treasure map home, and the mom said, "Oh, what's this crumpled piece of paper?" and threw it away. Never to be found again.
Dude, you got to think about, like, if this sequel actually gets made, how good is Data's, like, gadgets now? Like, they got to be, like, because he's progressed with time. Like, he's gotten better.
Bond gadgets.
Bond gadgets.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to see what he has.
You know, I kind of wish it's the same cast kind of getting back into the, you know, older people getting into adventure again. Kind of what I'm saying. Getting back into that life, being out of it for so long, but coming back in. I think that'd be really cool. I don't know who you'd have the Fratellis, but let's rate.
Let's do it.
So I guess I'll go first. It's pretty simple for me. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I actually think it's... Everything about it is direct. Like, the scene where Chunk gets... out of the grips from the Fratellis and has to go back into the Fratellis household. And the light from the car gets turned on. He's like, ah, it's the Fratellis. Those types of moments are kind of like slightly overlooked, but like there's a whole lot of them of good directing choices. I like the eeriness of the moments they choose to have it being riveting. And then like simultaneous, the next scene could be just laughter. I like that mix and mashup. It kind of leaves you on your toes to some extent. The humor is fantastic. The cast is just unbelievable. Who would have ever thought in 1985 that the group of these individuals are just going to go basically crush life? And then Chunk, my favorite, ends up being a law professor. But I have to give it a five glasses because I watch this every single year. It's my direct tie. It's the one movie that kind of keeps me young. If I were to frame it like that, I really, really enjoy it. I know it's exactly going to happen, but it's terrific replaying it every year.
Hey, that makes sense, man. It's like, it's such a fun movie to watch. And I kind of kick myself for not being able to see this through the lens of a child, Steven, a kid.
Have a kid.
Because I knew.
You could have a kid.
I could have a kid, yeah. fully capable of that, I think. Seeing it through the lens of my adult eyes, and I was like, man, this movie would have terrified me, but I would have loved it all the same.
It wasn't scary to me. It's interesting.
Maybe it wouldn't have been. I'm trying to put myself in there and trying to figure this out. Like, because this movie has some really dark and scary elements, like we've talked about, but it has this like lightness to it and this like playfulness that, it's a very weird and delicate balance that, you know, Donner and with the help of Spielberg really put into this movie to make that balance work. I had a lot of fun with it. Like you said, the casting was fantastic. The cinematography, just the whole idea of the storyline, great. I don't have the nostalgia factor for it. And it's my first time watching it. Maybe this will grow on me later on, but I'm giving it 4 glasses. I'm amazed at what this film could do, and I'm excited to like watch it again in a year or two.
Or maybe you should watch it every year. Well, yeah, I mean, you better getting on the business if you've got a kid. I really need to figure out what age is appropriate for this. You got a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's interesting. Very fascinating. I wish these people well, though. I want to meet Chunk in real life. Like, he's got to be a good talker. The law profession really suits him. Corey Feldman would be an interesting character to be hanging out with, to be honest with you. As a child or otherwise. Interesting cat. But anyway, I think you're meeting the parents.
Yeah, that we're going to, again, we kind of like to build this podcast around seminal moments of our lives, whether it's racing the world for Team USA or meeting the parents.
You actually have an interest in what you're talking about, opposed to just going in blind. So Steven is meeting the parents of said girlfriend. It's a big moment. Seminole. It could be either. It's a seminal moment. I'm very excited to talk about meeting the parents. So our next week is Meet the Parents, when actuality, it's going to be about meeting parents in real life.
Should be fun. Yeah, we'll see.
And I hope it ends up exactly like Meet the Parents.
I get hooked up to a lie detector.
Precisely. If even a tenth of that story from the movie comes true in real life, I'm elated. So we're actually going to do this movie watch. We should have a Meet the Parents 2
or Meet the Fockers
afterwards. But anyway, until next time.
Toodles.
Goodbye from our world.